With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey guys, got your soul sisters here.
Hey, what's up, Dark Goblin?
How you doing, Jesse?
I'm great. All right. This is a really fun episode that I'm glad you're here.
Oh, man.
For the intro for, because you were not part of our chat with Amelia Meath of Sylvanesso, which was a bummer.
Super bummed out.
But in our crazy lives, sometimes we must carry on without one another.
I wish that weren't the case, but it's true.
That we're always in our hearts.
Yes.
But she was super fun, and you would have liked it, but now you can listen to it with everybody else. Not to rub it in.
Thanks.
But she does make me think of you a little bit, because I discovered Sylvanesso by watching Transparent and getting really deep into the Transparent soundtrack from season one, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And their song Coffee is on there.
Oh,
I
no
think
way.
It's season one.
I
Could
wonder
be season two. It's one or the other. But anyway, I was like, oh, this song's dope. Who's this band? And then discovered them. And they have a new album coming out on April 28th.
I'm so excited.
And so I was like, can Amelia please come on the pod? And she did. Because she's cool.
She's so cool. I wonder if that's where I had known Coffee from before, just like in
Maybe.
My subconscious. Because
it is their biggest song, okay. I think, in terms of streaming or whatnot.
Right.
So you could have heard it somewhere else.
Okay.
But
I mean,
it's
we
there.
Are big Transparent fans.
We are.
Yeah.
So there's a strong chance.
Yeah.
That's how you found it. Yeah. And they have a couple new singles out from the new album already. And they're really good. I highly recommend them. What's the one that I'm obsessed with? Die Young. It's like one of their more poppy ones that they've done yet.
Okay.
But like with their own twist on it.
She's like blowing
up.
It's
very cool.
Yeah. A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're having a big moment. They're going on tour. It's going to be a big summer for them. And
awesome.
Yeah. Super
yeah,
lucky to have her on. Yeah. So yeah, let's just get to it. Yeah.
I can't wait.
Okay. Amelia Meath of Sylvanesso. Thanks for coming on the show. I'm obsessed with the single that dropped today.
Thank
Die
you.
Young. I listened to it an embarrassing amount of times today.
Oh, man.
It's so good.
That makes me feel like a million bucks.
It's fucking awesome. I put it on when I was taking my dog to the dog park this morning. And I was like, oh, they dropped a new single today. All right. I hope this is good because she's coming on the show today.
Oh,
and then
word.
I was like, okay, repeat, 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 repeat
yes,
to
yes.
the dog park and back and all throughout the rest of the day.
Weird. That's
yeah,
what it's
for. Awesome. So congrats.
Thanks so much.
Very cool.
Yeah. It was really fun to...
To make it
and to also be like...
Share it.
Yeah. Here are all of... Because we released like all of our tour dates for the year too today.
That's right. It was a big day for you guys.
Yeah. And
hence the press day that you are now.
Darn.
Amidst.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And announced a record and all the stuff. It
yeah.
feels really good.
All the
feels
stuff.
Feels like a quinceañera or something. You know what I mean?
Like, you are a woman now.
Yeah, exactly.
In the music community. Mazel tov. To mix cultural
you know what
references.
I mean. Yeah, it's
no.
perfect. Yeah.
No, it's true. I mean, because you guys dropped two singles from the record already, right?
Mm-hmm.
Before today.
Mm-hmm.
Those came out like a while ago.
Yeah, we've been like slowly
the
dropping
slow
little.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Doing it the old school way.
Yeah. So will another one come out before the album?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think like album is, because that's only like.
It's not that far away, I guess.
Yeah,
it's almost
really
March
soon.
Already.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, by the time this comes out, it will be March. So guys, you have probably about a month to wait.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not very long at all.
Not very, a blink.
Yeah.
In the span of time.
Yeah. It's a couple of hangs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
a couple of sandwiches.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Very cool. How long are you in New York for?
3 more days.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you're doing some fam time.
Mm-hmm.
And what else while you're here?
Fam time.
Have you lived in New York?
I have. I lived in Red Hook.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Cool.
For
when?
Like, 2011 and 12.
Okay.
And then I was just on tour all the time.
Okay. So you didn't spend much time there.
Why would I? Yeah, because I would come back and I had just graduated from college and I would come home and all of my pals would be working their butts off.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I would have like weird, very expensive New York vacations. And
right.
I was just like, why?
Totally.
Am I pay? I had like a cheap apartment, but it still felt silly.
It would be cheaper
here.
Still to like Airbnb when you do come here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Red Hook is nice though. It's like a little village.
Oh, it's a dream. I loved it there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was so fun.
I have a friend who lived in Durham until about a year ago, and she was used to having sightings of you out and about town.
Yeah.
I hear that you are the local celebrity down there.
So you clearly have integrated.
Yeah. Yes, she actually did have a story about seeing you do some Michael Jackson karaoke somewhere.
Oh, did she work at Toro?
No, but it was at some like LGBTQ.
Oh, it was the LGBTQ benefit. Yeah, yep. We did a karaoke night so our pals could open their LGBTQ center,
uh-huh,
which is dope. They found a location.
Cool.
It's very purple and awesome.
Amazing. Yeah. So happy ending to that story.
Mm-hmm.
All good stories begin with drunken karaoke.
Darn tootin'.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, if you were like, I was very sober doing that karaoke, I would be a little bit weirded out because I don't know about those people who
sober,
do that.
Sober karaoke is a cool social experiment.
Yeah. I mean, props to people who can do it.
Yeah.
I feel like those are people who like really can sing. No one who does not have a voice is going to go up and soberly do karaoke.
Oh, I beg to differ. I have.
Maybe I should say no one who doesn't have a good voice should do sober karaoke. But you're right. It probably happens way more than it should.
There's the best karaoke night in Durham at the Pinhook, which is like the dope bar with the tiny shows.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the dreamiest. It's the dream. It's the dream of what a bar can be.
Yeah.
And the karaoke nights there are just insane and amazing. Shout out to Melvin. He's the best.
I don't want to get any Brooklyn haters on you, but do you feel like you upgraded moving to Durham?
It was really like a practical decision.
Okay.
In that I had just gotten back from singing backup for Feist.
Mm-hmm.
And I had like made more money than a 22-year-old person ever dreams of. It was like my first time of getting a day rate.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
What do I do with all this money?
Where do I go? Like where I can, you know, where a martini doesn't cost $15.
Right. And how much do martinis cost in North Carolina these days?
If you're getting a fancy martini, 10. Yeah. But if you're getting like a G&T, it's like 4 to 6.
Hell yeah.
You know?
I'm from Ohio. I know about those prices.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What part of Ohio?
It feels so good to go home. Columbus.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You live large when you go home.
Yeah.
The Midwest or the South. It's great.
So chill.
Yeah.
I always thought that I belonged in New York. That was the thing. And then I left and I was like, man, this is so nice. And I
totally.
I bought a house, you know? And I like.
Amazing. Yeah. So we've had, I think, a friend of yours, Jen Wassner, on the show before.
My heart.
Yeah, and she talked about that decision to move down there and get a house and the impact that that had on her songwriting, her ability to, like, have space, wake up in the middle of the night and sing and write and just...
Oh, totally.
It sounded like freedom is what she could buy with all that money down there.
Yeah, that was we basically, like, dragged her down there.
Really?
Well, yeah, she went on tour with us and then was like, I'm moving here. We have matching tattoos.
Really?
Like, oh, yeah, look. Okay.
Oh my God, that's amazing. For me to say, I think friend of yours was, an understatement.
Oh yeah, she's my girl.
Yeah, yeah, okay, cool. Her new album was also amazing.
Right?
Yeah.
I know. I'm totally obsessed with it.
It was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She sent us some vinyl. That was very exciting.
She's so great.
I literally went back to Ohio, brought my turntable back because I had my new Flock of Times album. And I was like, I don't have anything to play this on right now. It's time. Time to get that back to New York.
I love that.
Yeah. So you moved down there then when? 2012?
I think I got off tour in like 2013.
Okay.
And it was one of those, everywhere I've moved, it's always been kind of a 2 week decision of like, I think I'm going to move. And then I call
and, then you
some,
do
and
it?
I find, yeah, and I just go.
Whoa.
So I kind of decided to move on a whim, and I and all of my pals from my college, which is Bennington, like, there was like a pod of Benningtonites that had moved to Red Hook.
Okay.
So I just called Skippy, my pal.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, oh, I have an apartment for you. Yeah.
Are you generally an impetuous person or just with moving?
Just with moving. Mm-hmm. I was also like...
Just with major life decisions.
Just with major life decisions. Well, I don't know. I'm a professional musician, so like...
Yeah, I guess.
You know, like... You have
because of the territory.
You have to be kind of impetuous to be like,
sure.
You know what I'm going to do?
Yeah. Did you have a community down there?
In
North Carolina?
No. Other than, like, Nick and I had just started the band.
Yeah.
And I had...
And he was down there? Like, what
he was down
the
there, too.
For...
He moved down for a different band called Megaphon.
Uh-huh.
That, like, he had been, like, traveling from Milwaukee,
okay,
like, five times a year and was like, I'll just move down here. All my work's down here.
Uh-huh.
And we had just started Sylvanesso, and I was like, I'll move there for 6 months.
Yeah.
And now I'm, like, deep in the scene, in the vibe.
Deep in it.
Of Durham, North Carolina.
Yeah.
I love it.
Which, yeah, it's an awesome place.
Mm-hmm. So much good food.
Mm-hmm.
So many wonderful people.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel... I mean, we're probably talking about this too much already, but I think it's really interesting, so hopefully everyone else does. Do you feel like Durham is a town that just suits you really well, or is it also a little bit the contrast of being in the South, and that somehow is like, that also suits your art in a way?
I have no idea. I'm not sure if I can speak to that quality.
Does Durham
other than
feel
like,
I mean, does it feel like an island, like almost the way that Austin is
totally.
In Texas?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, completely.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Completely.
So it's like a lot of like-minded people politically and artistically around you
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
in a state that is not generally.
Exactly. I've never lived in a state that wasn't blue before.
Yeah. Okay.
Which
Where
is,
did
and
you grow
I
up?
I live in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Okay. Yeah.
And I like, you know, I live in like a tiny blue bubble mm-hmm. in a state that needs a lot of help right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's great to feel active.
Right.
Also, I think that back to what you were saying earlier about uh-huh. it, like the South syncing with like being an artistic person.
Yeah.
I think there's something about this, the pace
mm-hmm.
that's really different. Like
yep.
when I moved here, I realized, and when I moved here and my career started moving at the same time, I realized that the thing that had attracted me to New York was the pace. And the pace, that pace is the same as the pace of tour.
Mm, interesting.
You know? So, yeah. Like, when I moved here, I was like, oh, wait, I'm already getting this feeling of, like, the constant influx all
mm-hmm,
the time.
Mm-hmm.
And in Durham, there is a sense of, like, being deeply part of a community in that, like, your neighbors notice when you leave.
Yeah.
Whereas in New York, you can just ghost. Like, you can truly just disappear.
Yes.
For
or,
like
or be murdered
yeah or be murdered
never even leave your apartment
yeah,
ever
yeah.
again
mm-hmm. or be like eaten by your dog or
mm-hmm.
something
and no one would know
yeah it is a really intensely private place
right
and it's so fast paced and then in Durham like everyone knows pretty much exactly what you're doing all the time
uh-huh. like for better or worse
yeah and my neighbors will be like that song's great
because they could hear it from their
house
because
they can hear it yeah
do you record stuff in your house
mm-hmm.
yeah okay
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. We just changed that.
Yeah.
And we moved, like, we have a street that Jen actually lives on.
Uh-huh.
That we're, like, slowly renting all of the houses on.
You guys live on the same street?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or, like, there's, like, a big house that, like, my crew lives in, and we all hang out there all the time.
Oh, you're truly living the dream.
It's a nice situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so the pace is better for you. Do you find that you get the same inspiration living there? I heard in a movie once there was a line about like how New York will give you the inspiration you need. It was about writers, but you have to leave to actually do the writing, which I think about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do find that New York feeds me creatively, but then I'm exhausted all the time and never have time to actually do what I need to do with that.
Yeah, New York's great for sponging.
Yeah, right.
But I think... Also, I have this, like, really nice outward view because I have the internet. and I have like all my pals who live here. And like I mostly write songs right now about like how you like create who you are through your input, you know? So I guess that's true.
Yeah.
And that like I got my New York time and like soaked all of it up and then jammed.
Yeah. And now it's coming out.
Yeah.
Is that how you would describe the new album? It's about like who you are being defined by your input.
Yeah. In some ways, there's like a lot of, I'm like still kind of, it's like a brand new baby.
Yeah.
And that there's,
oh, I'm sure, and trying to articulate what it is a whole new thing now.
Yeah, like a more personal thing for me is like how we build our, like the person that we present in the world through, you know, and like how we learn how to do that.
Right.
Yeah. And then there's, I mean, there's also just like the conversation of like human with technology and the integration of those things. You know?
Yeah. I feel like you guys are known as being politically involved and certainly down in North Carolina, there's lots to be involved with and fight for and against. I'm wondering, like, how much politics went into your songwriting in any kind of conscious way, and if that changed, like, if the album has changed for you post-election.
The album has definitely changed for me post-election. But here's the thing, also, like, I try to avoid. There's nothing worse than preachy political songs, you know, and they're like really obvious.
Yeah.
But the thing about politics is that they affect everyone emotionally, you know. So it's, the album itself is more of, it's about personal feelings.
Yeah.
And those totally relate politically, you know, but it's not an outwardly like, you know, someone already wrote Fuck Donald Trump.
Right.
And I don't, like, I don't need, I'm
and
not
you can't top
get it.
That.
It's, yeah, and I'm not going to get it any better on the head, than that. You know, like, they did
very
a great
true.
Job. Yeah. And that's awesome. You know?
Yeah. But so how do you feel like, how do you see your art differently now since the election? Or has it taken on new importance to you? Or is there something new about performing for you now?
Being a human that speaks their mind and is creative is all, like, is slowly becoming more and more political in the current climate that we're in.
Yeah.
So, yes.
For sure.
But also, like,
and being a woman who does that.
Yeah, darn tootin'.
Yeah.
And I'm not changing anything.
Right.
Which I think is even more of a statement than,
yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, just being yourself is defiant and political now more than ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it was for our moms and our mom's moms, you know? It's as ever.
Yeah.
Being a woman who runs her shit is a political statement.
Right. For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. I'm curious to know what your experience is being part of a duo with a man, because we've heard some stories about this on the show before, like how people relate to you guys differently. I know, like, some women have the experience of, like, someone will look to the guy in the duo to ask about sound or something like that. Is that like a persistent thing that you've also noticed?
It's totally a persistent thing, but here's the shit about it.
Yeah.
Is that, can I swear on this
yes,
podcast?
You can.
That's great. Just making sure.
Yeah, let it go.
Just making sure I wasn't bleeping.
I wouldn't give you a beer and then not warn you about swearing. Come on.
Thanks.
I got you. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate you. That does happen, and I still get offended about it.
Yeah.
But I don't know that much about sound.
Ain't that the catch, ladies? Totally.
It's one of the more embarrassing parts
but
of it.
But you should have the opportunity to say, I don't know.
Yeah.
Ask him.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel, like, really guilty about it. I'm like, oh, I'm one of those women that doesn't know about sound. I'm not doing a good job. I can't be upset.
That's because so funny.
It's like, it's an odd one.
Yeah, that is a conundrum.
You know, because
right.
It's nice. It's great that also, like, Nick is so good at all of that stuff in general.
Yeah.
That, like, the opportunity for me to learn about it hasn't presented itself in that, like
you don't need to step in on that.
Yeah, he's always there.
Mm-hmm.
And, like,
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot.
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Like, he knows, and he's great at research, and like and he's really logical,
right?
And I'm intuitive and emotional. Those are not my strong suits.
Not to stick to our gender presumptions.
Yeah, sorry, it's real.
Sometimes it's true.
No, but that's me.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
It's not just because I'm like a female identifying bodied person,
right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you do most of the songwriting yourself? Mm-hmm. And you do that first and then you go to him?
We like have synthesized the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the first record, we did a lot of that.
Uh-huh.
Or like I would write the whole thing and then he had a whole beat and I would write it.
Uh-huh.
But now we kind of like collage them, you know, like, so
okay.
I'll get like a hook in a first verse and I'll give it to Nick and be like, what does this make you feel, you know, or like we'll talk about it and then he'll give me something back.
Right.
Or like we're right there together and we just talk about how we want it to feel.
Uh-huh.
You know, and Nick's so good at like hearing me be like, it needs to feel like a magical blue bird wearing a giant gown and she swings her, she has hair and she swings it, you know. Yeah. And he's like, oh, totally.
He's like, I have the formula for
that.
And here
he's like,
go.
Okay, you got it. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that you were looking to evolve your sound in that particular way when you linked up with him? Like going from the beautiful acoustic harmonies that you were doing in your previous work to what your sound is now with Sylvanesso.
I always wanted to write pop songs.
Okay.
Because I was a pop song dork.
Yeah.
From like the beginning. Because they're amazing.
They are.
The pop songs are
There's
incredible.
A reason why they dominate.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're, it's like a puzzle.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's the genius puzzle.
So now I have to ask your opinion because this is like becoming a joke on this show. But since Chain to the Rhythm dropped, I've found a reason to bring it up on every show for like the last 5 weeks. The new Katy Perry song.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard it?
Oh, yeah.
Because I was immediately hooked to it. And I have developed a love and appreciation for Katy Perry because she does create those perfect pop songs.
Mm-hmm.
But my co-host, Dara, who unfortunately couldn't be here today, she has a more complicated relationship with that kind of thing. And the respect is like a little harder to get from her for it.
Ooh.
You know? But it's like, it's an ongoing conversation we have about like the validity of just a perfectly crafted, straight from the factory, this is the formula to make this song stick in everyone's heads forever.
Max Martin.
Max Martin song. Right. And as someone pointed out to us, this other guest we had on, Gavin Turek, she was like, it's a formula, but it's not an easy formula.
Yeah.
It's like an MIT formula.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can get that, it's great. So like, you shouldn't think it's easy to do.
No, it's not easy to do, which is like partially why most of the lyrics of pop songs are really dumb.
Right.
You know?
Wait, like, why?
Well, like if you think about like Ariana Grande's songs, like, or like how they always have like weird Swedish like mispronunciations or like strange thing, you know, or like I Saw the Sign, you know, like
have
like all these, or like the amazing like Swiss pop vibe, you know, they like there's a way of stringing words together no matter what the words are that sound amazing, and like Max Martin is incredible at that.
Yeah,
you know, the way he can like he can like lay out things syllabically,
right? So when, I mean, were you like a kid wanting to be an artist and wanting to
get pop songs that were on the radio?
Yeah.
Is that like, this is from the beginning, this was kind of your idea for yourself?
Yeah, because pop music is the first music that's yours.
Uh-huh.
You know, like,
right.
Like I'd always listen to like my family's music.
Which was, how would you describe
like,
that?
Oh, it's, you know, like, hold on a second, I'm drinking beer. he's like,
keeping it real.
Yeah, like NRBQ and Foreigner and Chuck Berry and the okay. Beatles and, you know, like all of that stuff. And uh-huh. then I like found hip hop radio.
Okay.
You know,
uh-huh.
and it was like, and like Kiss.
Uh-huh.
You know, and those were like my stations that I could listen to.
Yeah.
At home.
Right.
And that was the moment when it was like, oh my gosh, music can be mine.
Uh-huh.
It's not just the thing I listen to in the car with dad.
Yeah.
You know?
Did you study music ever?
No. Okay. I studied acting.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
When?
When I was in college. Okay. So 2006 to 2004 to 2010.
Like drama major?
Mm-hmm. Well,
okay.
I went to Bennington where you design your own major story.
So was it more specific than that?
Oh, yeah. It was, I think the thing on my diploma, it was mostly like physical, it was physical theater, it was experimental theater.
Wow. So Bennington. That's amazing. So like, what kind of shit were you doing then?
Like viewpoints and, but also we were doing like Shakespeare plays.
Uh-huh. The full gamut.
Oh, the whole thing.
Yeah.
It was really, really fun.
Well, when did singing start for you?
When I was a kid.
Okay.
We always did that, like around the dinner table.
Right.
You know,
but did you do choir?
Oh, horribly.
Yeah. Why horribly though?
I couldn't stand choir.
Oh, you just didn't enjoy it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And like, I just didn't have the, like, I always thought the directors were making like kind of boring decisions.
Right.
You know?
That makes sense.
But it was also
you.
Like Massachusetts, like chorale right. stuff, you know? So it was like hippie folk songs.
Uh-huh.
Or like
Bach.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
But it probably helped train your ear.
Mm-hmm.
To later do amazing harmonies like you did.
Thanks.
I mean, I'll give it that at least.
Yeah. Ear training's the best.
Right.
I think like most of my ear training was the radio.
Yeah.
Because if you're singing along to the radio, that's how I got my 10,000 hours was just singing along to the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's interesting because who's around you to tell you if you're doing it wrong? Like a choir director, a good one, will be like, sing by yourself. No.
True. But like, that's like when you're thinking about, I mean, there's like so many different aspects of the voice as an instrument in general.
Yeah.
You know, so like there's the emotional, and no one told that, like that guy from Pearl Jam, whose name I'm forgetting, to sing like that.
Eddie Vedder. Yeah.
But if a choir teacher had gotten hold of Eddie Vedder, they'd have been like, what are you doing?
That's true.
You know, like it's
they would
totally
have ruined him.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
No, or like there's like the way of thinking about your voice is like if you think about yourself as a wind instrument and
uh-huh.
then there's like how to be emotional.
Right. Right. Right.
You know, and
yeah.
like the goal would be to synthesize those two things.
Yeah. Okay. So you were acting in college. Also singing in college
mm-hmm.
for fun
and I took a couple voice lessons.
Oh, did you?
Or like voice classes.
Okay.
For like a couple semesters with the amazing Tom Bogdan.
A little shout out,
Tom Bogdan, I love you. He sang with Meredith Monk.
Cool.
He was like a total like old school New York dude.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so was that very formative to you then to study with him? Like at what point did you Was it that you were like, I'm going to act and I'm going to sing and then we'll see which one kind of lands?
Yeah.
And it just happened to be singing?
Yeah, I was singing. Or like my friend Bleeker, who's in real estate, and Alex Bleeker and the Freaks. I got a house off campus and decided that we needed to have a house show for that house. And that's where my first band, Mountain Man, started because I had Molly and Alex play there.
Okay.
And Bleeker was like, you guys need a MySpace. And so I made a MySpace, and then, like, through a couple series of events, Pitchfork found it.
Okay.
So it was, like, this crazy, like, serendipitous thing that happened when I was in college. So
what were those series of events?
McGregor from Chocolate Babka, the blog,
uh-huh.
posted about us
okay.
in 2009, and Pitchfork picked it up. And
wow.
I was booking shows at the time.
Okay.
So we like went on tour one summer, like the summer between my junior and senior year, I think. Yeah. And then I started music, doing music.
And that was it?
Mm-hmm.
Have you had any kind of boring 9-to-5 job since then? Or waiting tables or anything?
I had a truly horrible stint of being a brunch waitress at Kevin's in Red Hook.
Really?
They were very, very kind to me.
And brunch serving is fucking crazy. For those of you who have not done it, it is intense. It is one of the most intense jobs you can ever have.
Oh, dude. Yeah, but I was like, I'm just bad.
Okay.
Like it's really intense for one thing, but it was like a 20 top, you know, like it was a pretty chill
scene. You could have handled it.
Yeah, it was like me and one other server.
Yeah.
And I'm just like a total fruit. And we like I also studied dance. Like the peak of me being the worst brunch waitress ever.
Yeah.
Was this is so embarrassing.
Yes, tell us.
I was huge table of Manhattan ladies.
Okay.
I was pouring water.
Uh-huh.
And I did a pirouette. Like I like stuck my back leg out and bent over.
Was there a way of being like, I'm your waitress, but I'm also an artist.
But I'm also a star.
Right.
Either way, I knocked 3 potted plants onto their table.
No way.
Yeah, with my leg.
Oh, mid-pirouette.
Mid-pirouette.
Well, first of all, I don't know what Manhattan ladies are doing having brunch in Red Hook. So they learned their lesson.
It
probably never
bad.
Repeated.
It was bad. And they were so kind to me about it. They were like,
well, that's nice.
Yeah, I just ran into the kitchen with like tears, you know, drank some white wine.
Calmed your nerves.
Yeah.
So when did you get to quit that job?
I quit that job when I went back on tour.
Yeah.
With Mountain Man.
Okay.
There was like a brief stint where I had to wear like Molly, one of Mountain Man, uh-huh. One of the members of Mountain Man.
Of the Mountain Men. Did you guys call each other Mountain Men?
Not really.
Yeah.
We just liked how like truly annoying it was that
that no one could really say that.
Plural.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
She went back to school for a little while.
Okay.
And that was the point where I was like, well, I guess.
Yeah.
I gotta make some Skrill.
Right.
Yeah.
But that was it.
That was it.
Cool.
Yeah. I also worked in a bakery in Durham
while
I was writing.
Oh.
The first.
I feel like that would feed your writing. It feels like a very daydreamy thing, baking.
Yeah. I wasn't baking. I was just selling pastries. But I did.
Okay. I'm sure you were still daydreaming.
I was daydreaming a lot. And also, there's nothing. I had a wonderful time. I was also horrible at that, too. I'm just bad. My only talent is charm and singing. Like, anything that has
well, good
to
thing
do
you found
like,
the exact right job for
yeah,
that.
I'm very lucky.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very, very lucky.
Because you wouldn't have cut it otherwise in this world, kid.
Thank you. Sure, give me that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing better than giving people treats all day, though.
Right?
Working in a bakery.
Pastries?
Yeah, and people come in and be like, I want a cookie. And
yeah.
I'd be like, yeah.
And
totally.
Here you go.
Yeah.
And for at least 10 minutes of your day, you're going to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have no other physical choice while eating a cookie
mm-hmm.
than to be happy.
Yeah, then joy.
Basic human needs. You fulfilled them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Speaking of fulfilling basic human needs, South By. I feel like a lot of needs get filled at South By.
South By.
So that's kind of like kicking things off for you guys with the album, right?
Yeah.
That's going to be the start of the insanity that will then continue through, what, September?
I think we're booked through December.
December.
I think.
Damn.
I haven't taken a look at
it. Yeah, you got a lot of dates.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of dates lined up.
Oh, yeah. It's real.
It's massive.
I'm so excited.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
What happens to the house in Durham when you go on tour?
I don't know. Someone
will hang there.
Yeah. We always have a friend who's like some sort of homeless.
Yeah. Okay,
you know?
Perfect.
You can be like, go be in the...
Such a musician.
Yeah.
There's always someone who needs a place to stay.
Yeah, please stay in my house. Yeah. Kill my plant.
You guys are going... It's international, right? You have some foreign dates.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, heading all around.
Mm-hmm. Doing the South By dance. I think it's going to be my 7th or 8th South By.
Yeah.
Is that true? I think so.
It's not.
6th or 7th.
Okay.
Something like that. Yeah.
That's solid. Save your bona fides.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And is Flock of Dimes opening for you guys?
Oh, yeah.
That's killer.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be nuts.
So fun.
Very cool. All right. So the album comes out. Do you remember the date? Pop quiz.
April 28th.
Boom. You got it. It's correct. I found it on my sheet. 100. April 28th. You're killing it. You had one thing that your publicist needed you to remember. We got there. Thank you all.
I did it. I got it.
It's called What Now? That's a big question.
That's the truth.
Mm-hmm. Man, what now?
What now?
What now after What Now comes out and after the tour's done?
Mm-hmm. More.
Album number 3?
Yeah, more tunes.
Have you started writing for
no
our next one?
No way.
Look, there are some people who are like, yeah, the new album's coming out, but I already wrote the next one, so.
Oh my gosh, but why though?
I know, and I'm like, so when do you enjoy this album?
Fiona Apple was a really great, or like, I heard her say this at some point, where she was like, I really only write albums when I'm sad, you know? So like, when I'm happy and doing fine, yeah, why would I write something like
right
that?
Do you feel that way?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
No. Or well, I like.
When do you write albums?
I have an ongoing. I'm always. Every time I write a song, I feel like I've like, you know, some like miracle has happened. Still, I'm like,
are you
oh
like happily surprised
God
every time?
Yeah, every time I'm like, I did it again.
Do you have fear of writer's block?
I don't like fear it because I pretty much deal with it all the time. Like, okay, there's not like. Actually, like writing pop songs is a really good way of getting over it because there's there's so many different formulas,
uh-huh,
you know, that you can just like plug stuff into if you need to.
Do you consider Sylvanesso to be pop?
Yeah, just, totally. I mean, it's not, it's like pop made by freaks. You know?
I like that. That is perfectly described. Yeah, there are many shades of pop.
Yeah.
I don't have a qualm with calling this pop. And in fact, the new track today feels very like
that's a straight
that
ahead pop
we could hear
song
on the radio a lot. Mm-hmm. Fingers crossed we will. Like, that's a great pop song. Not all of your songs are like that. Some are more funky, some are like darker in a way that I don't know, you know, that has a different vibe. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm, but yeah, I feel like you went for it on that one.
Yeah.
And you nailed it.
Thanks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so yeah, guys, check out that Die Young. You can hear it now.
Mm-hmm.
And the other two singles that came before it. Radio.
Kick, Jump, Twist. Mm-hmm.
And on April 28th, the album will be out. And then the band will be everywhere at mm-hmm some point in 2017. What else you got going on this year? Non-music related. Give us one tidbit of something else.
All I do is this.
All you got.
Like, this is it. I have like plans on reading many, many books.
Okay, good.
I'm trying to find my hobby. Last tour, or last like main cycle, I just read books about mushroom hunting. Which?
Meaning?
Like hunting for mushrooms in the woods.
Okay.
Like all different kinds.
Truffle hunting?
Yeah, like all different kinds.
Is that like something you're going to try to incorporate into the tour?
You can't really do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought maybe you'd be in some weird places where maybe there's
that's true
high mushroom content.
Yeah. I could try. I'm looking for my new hobby for this tour. It'll appear, I'm sure.
What was a hobby on the last tour you did?
Reading books about hunting mushrooms.
Oh, okay. There you go.
You know.
So now this is the time to see it through.
Mm-hmm.
Good plan. I like it. Good luck with that.
All thanks.
Right. Amelia, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince.
Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.